scripture comes from Genesis chapters 1 through 3. So God created man in his own image, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule." And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." The serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" God said to the serpent, "I will put hostility between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel."
Who are we? And where did we come from? Those are very elementary questions that we probably all asked at one time when we were children and even as adults, because we're kind of on a genealogy kick today, aren't we? Trying to find out our roots, where we all came from. These are the questions of the human heart. And the Bible has answers to such questions as these. And so this morning I want us to look at the subject of man or humankind, what the Bible has to teach about who we are and where we came from. And, you know, in thinking about this, well, you could go to almost any book of the Bible, but when you're thinking about elementary subjects, I think you start at the beginning. So I want us to look again at the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Actually, we're going to look at a few verses in each of the first three chapters. And again, the subject, what is man, or who are we as human beings? Is there anyone here that's not a human being? Any aliens? Got a couple. I thought so. Three or four. But the rest of us are all... Oh, okay. We won't tell her you said that. And we know that's not true. We know it's not true of any of you either. Of course, there are angels who have appeared unawares. The Bible talks about those. We may have an angel here this morning. But otherwise, we're all of the human race. And so I want to try to answer this question from the Bible. I want to look to the Bible because I think the Bible has the answers to, if not every question that we have, certainly the most important and elementary questions. What can we learn about who we are? Well, there are, in the opening chapters here, some verses that I want us to focus in on. First of all, in chapter 1 and verse 27, it tells about how God created man in his own image. And, of course, that means humans, not just the male species. So God created man in his own image, male and female. It says he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And so I want us to learn from what the Bible has to teach, first of all, about creation. It teaches us something about creation. We didn't just evolve according to the Bible. Now, you can maybe, there are those who say you can harmonize the Bible with science. The Bible and science are not in conflict, but I personally don't think that evolution is really a valid scientific theory. There are many scientists who are not even believers in the Bible who say that evolution is not true. So it's a theory. But here are truths that we can stake our lives on. Jesus said if we continue in his word, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Well, what can we learn about creation? Well, first of all, we can learn about the image of creation. Doesn't it say here that God created man in his own image? Your children, for example, are in your image, so to speak. When we had our four children, you know, I thought, well, at least one of them probably looked like me and maybe act like me. But none of them seemed to fit that mold, thankfully. Oh, Lord. Thank you that you didn't give me one like me. You know, they may look like us a little bit. I think Betty and her daughter resemble each other. And I often thought, well, you look more and more like sisters every day. You can pay me later. You know?
I will.
Oh, I know you will. She's our treasure. Not exactly are we, you know, those children come from God. They are a creation of God. They bear his image, as we all do. Nowhere in the Bible, interestingly, does it say that the angels are made in his image. Now, we would think, well, the angels are more like God because they're in heaven. They're spirit beings like God is. But I think we forget, and maybe we don't even realize, that we are spirit beings as well. We are spirit, soul, and body, the Bible says. And I don't think that when it says image there that God is like us, that God has a long white beard and, you know, like he's often portrayed in pictures and maybe storybooks. But it's talking about the moral and spiritual image, that we are like God. God created us because he wanted us to be like him. The Hebrew word that's translated image means to shade, and it probably has the meaning of a shadow. Like we are the shadow of God. We're so similar that we are the shadow cast perhaps by the light of God or something like that. We can learn about the lineage. Now, you may wonder, well, is that important? Yes, that is important. Because sometimes we think that we're nothing. Well, in a sense, the Bible says that we are but dust and ashes. And to dust we will return one day. We all know that. Sometimes we'd like to forget it, but it's a fact of life and death here. We are important because we are the only one in all of creation that was created in God's image. We're the apple of God's eye. And so don't let the devil or anyone try to tell you that you're not important. You are created in the image of God. And we can learn about the lineage also of each of us. Americans, since we have come from many nations and ethnic backgrounds, are on a genealogy quest today. People want to know what their roots are, where their roots lie. And here is the ultimate source, or the source of our ultimate quest for our roots. If you want to know where we all began, it's here, in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve, I believe, were our first parents. Otherwise, the rest of the Bible really doesn't make a lot of sense. The Bible says, as in Adam, all die, so in Christ we'll all be made alive. Now, Jesus believed in a literal Adam and Eve. And it's very important for us to know our roots. And here are our roots. It's our lineage. It's our heritage as well. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And here it talks about how God said to man, says that he created the male and female, and he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule. Now, it doesn't just say rule, period. I left some things out there for the sake of brevity, but that's why I want to encourage you to have your Bibles open, because it basically says, in effect, there that we are to rule over all the earth, that we are stewards of this earth that God has created. And I love what the psalmist, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, maybe you feel like you're just kind of a visitor here in this life, that you're just kind of here and you just maybe don't even know why you're here, but you just know that it's just a transitory time, and you kind of wonder, what's my purpose? Well, your purpose is, according to the Scriptures, to rule. The Bible says that we who know the Lord Jesus Christ will rule with Him. We will be in His government. We will be over. I don't agree with the group that says we're going to have our own planet. That's way out there. I mean, that you probably believe in aliens if you believe in that, and most seem to these days. But we are to rule over the earth, the Bible says. That's our heritage. God, again, didn't create us just to be nobodies, but He created us to be co-heirs with Christ of all that is Christ, which is everything, because He is the Creator. So I think it's very important for us to realize that, because in our day we have these teachings that we just kind of happened by the process of billions of years. We just kind of evolved, and there's really nothing to separate us from the animals and the rocks, for that matter. I mean, we're just the product of chance, really. And that's really what the devil wants us to think. That's totally contrary to what I read about in the Bible. That we are, it teaches that we are important to God, that we are a unique creation of God, that God created us for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Him and to inherit, be co-heirs with Christ of all that is Christ. Well, we can learn also about the temptation, our temptation. We use temptation in a kind of light way today. We talk about, being tempted by food, the favorite food, whatever it is. Or, we just kind of make light of temptation. We say, well, the devil made me do it and things like that. But really, temptation is something that we all struggle with. But there was a source. There was a beginning point. And here we're told about it here in Genesis chapter 2. How Adam and Eve, really Eve first and then Adam. You know, you can say, well, Eve was the one to fall, just like today. You know, if you're a chauvinist. Really, they were both. They both fell in the transgression. And I suppose you could say maybe if there was one more guilty than the other, it was the man, because he knew that it was wrong. But I don't want to get into that. I just want to learn what I can here. What I want to encourage you to learn what we can from the temptation. First of all, there was a solicitor to that temptation. The devil is introduced here as the serpent. I don't know whether that's where our fear of snakes came from or our hatred of snakes. I don't know. Is anyone here that loves snakes? Thank you. I thought of Warren, you probably would. So do you have a pet snake at home? Oh, Mom won't let you. Too bad. Well, why am I not surprised? We got a boy like that, too. He wanted a, what did he want, an iguana or something? You'd rather have python. I thought so. Well, just don't bring it to church if you get one. Yeah, we don't want to clear the place out. So, but, you know, most people, if they don't have a hatred for snakes, they don't really love them. I don't know that I'd want one wrapped around my neck. I'm not a snake handler, so I don't love them in that sense. But I think that they are a part of the animal creation that God created. I can't say with absolute certainty that this is where the origin came from of hatred of snakes, and that therefore we're justified in killing every snake we see. I don't think that it's teaching that. But the devil here is introduced to us as a serpent. Perhaps this was a real snake. I think, it likely was. But if you want to think that, he just appeared as a snake, kind of like in the Passion of the Christ, he just appeared as a snake. He looked like a snake. But he appeared. Well, I don't think it really matters a whole lot there. But the fact is, the devil is the tempter. The Bible says that he is the enemy of our souls. And he knows our weakness. He knows where to tempt us, where we're most vulnerable. That's why we need to be close to our Creator. And I think where Adam and Eve fell was, first of all, they didn't listen to the Word of God. They allowed doubt to come into their mind. There was a slander. That slander was in the form of a question there, kind of a suggestion that the devil had here. Did God really say, "You shall not eat of every tree in the garden"? In other words, that there was a tree that you couldn't eat from. And so he began to plant a doubt in their mind, not just about what God had said, but I think about the goodness of God. That's why I wanted us to sing that song, "God is so good." Because I think we need to remind ourselves of that God is good. That the God that we serve, the God that we know, the God of the Bible is a good God. And what He allows in our lives, He allows for a good purpose. And it may not seem that way at the time. Seldom does it. If you're going through a trial, or as we all have in our lives, a trial, a sorrow, a health problem, I know it's hard to believe sometimes. And it just is where faith has to come in. But God, believe that God is a good God. Claim His promise that He works all things together for good to those who love Him and who are the called according to His purpose. Well, there is a servitor of that temptation as well. The Bible says that, do you not know, this is in Romans chapter 6, do you not know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Now, Jesus, you may remember, said something very similar to that. The Pharisees came to Him one day and they said, "Well, we're not servants of anyone." I think it's kind of like people in America today. We say, "Well, we're not, we're free. We're a free nation." But if you have sin in your life and you are addicted to that sin, and it doesn't matter what it is, then you're not really free. And we all understand that because we've all been there. And even after you have come to know Christ as your Savior and you've turned over your life to Him, there are still issues of temptation Because the Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So this is a battle that we must face, but we have someone who has won the victory, and that is Jesus. And that's what I want to look at next, is the creation, the temptation, and thirdly, the salvation that we can learn about from the creation of man. The source of that salvation is God, because here it says God. Now that's Elohim. That's the word, the name that you may remember last week I said is a plural name for God. The I-M ending is plural. What else could that mean but that God is a Trinity? This is, again, the triune God that's speaking here. He is the source of salvation. We can't save ourselves. I think that it just means that when we come to God, we come empty-handed. There's nothing that we can bring to Him. There are no good works good enough to buy our way into heaven. We must come just as we are, empty-handed, but trusting Him to do it all. So He is the source. He and the Savior is spoken of in this is in the third chapter. If you have your Bibles open, you might want to turn to that. It's a great verse. It's not 3:16, but 3:15. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put hostility, this is God speaking, and He's speaking actually to the devil. And He says, I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Now, I believe that that is prophetic of Christ on the cross. And I don't think I have to prove it. I think it is true. And I think if you will study the scriptures, and you'll know that, like, that movie, The Passion of the Christ, I think had it right. That the devil is that serpent. And that when Jesus, and I don't say the movie is perfect. I don't think any movie is perfect about the life of Christ. The book is always better. But I love where Jesus is praying in the garden, and that serpent comes, and that snake comes up to him, and Jesus rises up from his prayer, and he stomps on the head of that serpent. Well, that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. He is our Savior. He is the seed of the woman. And the succor there, that means the help that God gives through salvation. Now remember, Adam and Eve had sinned. Now they sinned in a very bold and audacious manner. God had spoken to them directly. They actually walked with God in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have any doubt where they came from. They knew that God was their creator. And so they sinned with their eyes open, I guess we could say. And yet God spoke these words. I think not for the devil's benefit, but for our benefit. For us to know that there is a Savior. I love what Psalm 8 and chapter 3 says about, well, this was David speaking. And, you know, David was a very faulty person in many ways. But he was called a man after God's heart. And I think we see it here and hear it in these words. He said, when I observe your heavens. And remember, David was a shepherd boy. He'd been out there on those hills at night and saw the beautiful, you know, handiwork of God written across the sky. And he said, when I observe the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you remember him, the son of man that you look after him? You made him a little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him Lord over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. And don't let any power or persuasion persuade you that God does not love you. Know that God created you for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify His image in you. We are His unique creation. Yes, we suffer temptation, but praise God, He has won the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. I hope that He is your Savior. If He's not, would you invite Him into your life today and trust Him as your Lord and Savior?